what a dope I am from time to time. And you know what? I submit to it. I'm not afraid of that. I'm afraid of a promise being left of me entering into his rest. That's what I'm afraid of. I don't want to miss anything. But I'm not afraid of undergoing the chastisement of God. Though part of me is. I certainly am a bit apprehensive. I don't want to. But this is something I've wanted for so long and so deeply. To serve God in the end times. And it's in my heart. But I know that to do that, to serve God in that way, I have to change a whole lot to be able to do that. A whole lot. You know, the disciples, it's just a thought occurred to me. You know, he had early in the chapter said it'll be more, you know, shake the dust off your feet. And at least at another time, if not then, he had also said in another place that, you know, it'll be more tolerable for those cities than for Sodom and Gomorrah. And they're ready to bring Sodom and Gomorrah down. Or as Elijah, he called fire down from heaven. They wanted to do those big signs. Those are the kind of signs the Pharisees wanted. Fire from heaven. I'll tell you what, in the end times, the devil's going to bring fire down from heaven. The Antichrist is going to bring fire down from heaven. And I don't mean rockets. I mean supernatural. I believe that. I don't think it's going to be like, oh, it's a rocket. I remember one time I said the mountain burning with fire was probably a meteor, which makes sense because it's made of rock and so on and so forth. And a guy said to me, well, how do you know that's not like a skyscraper? I said, well, they knew what buildings look like. These aren't like idiots. You know, ancient men had familiarity with things that were man-made. And I think they could recognize that. I think that's funny how sometimes people look at ancient people and they think of them as these big dolts, as these big bumpkins, you know, not very intelligent. It's a total misperception. Verse 57 and on, we have three people approach Christ. And I don't know if this is really in a row how it happened, or just these are just three things that Luke added to his account. Things that had happened along the way. And it came to pass, as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow you, whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home in my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus was a severe man. He was a severe man. You know, I just can't see smiling, happy Jesus saying some of these things. You know, in the movies, they always portray him with a smile plastered to his face. Like that Gospel of John. I love that Gospel of John movie. Except the fact that they have Jesus always smiling. It's like they're afraid to portray him as anything less than the most receptive kind of guy. Hey, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Hey, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the gospel. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. All with a smile plastered to your face? I just don't think so. This guy wants to follow Christ, and he sees into his heart. He's comfortable. Foxes have holes, and birds have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have any place to lay his head. You want to follow me? It's not an easy life. You know, I think of that in my easy life. I think, like, gosh, how am I going to follow Christ? He's not a physical presence I have to actually follow around. But he's given me my own set of challenges. You know? I've got to let go of my place to lay my head. I'm very attached to my home. And in my heart, at least, I have to let go of it. I think God sees that I have a need. I've got six children. I need some place to keep them. And if he wanted me, I would walk away from it. Though I love them much. And I really desire to be with them. Thankfully, though, he's not suffering me to be tempted by them. In asking me to go away from all this. But in my heart, I know if I'm not prepared to do these things at the drop of a hat, at a word from Christ, if the time called for it, And it's according to the time we live in. If I'm not ready for it, I'm going to not be able to do it. You know, if I'm not ready to sleep with no sure place of dwelling, I'm not going to be able to follow Christ. If I am worried about, you know, where my father's going to be buried, and so on and so forth, how am I going to be? I'm not going to be ready to preach the gospel. I'm going to be too concerned about things of the world. I need to now let go of those things of the world and preach the gospel. That's why I do this every day. Do you think I do this because I think everyone needs to hear my teaching? It's because I need to teach. Because I need to preach the gospel. Because the gospel isn't given to me. And the gospel wasn't given to me to be hidden with me. It has to be spoken by me. I have to preach it. And you have to preach it too. In your own way. And like I said, if you don't understand, you don't think you have a gift. Well, at some point, you've got to come to an understanding. And you got to begin to understand in wisdom and by the God Spirit what it is you're at the level where you're comfortable with. And the gospel is simple. You just have to know what's true and right. You don't have to have all kinds of complicated doctrines of this and of that and of, genealogies, endless genealogies, dates and numbers and calculations. You don't need all that. And prophecy, it's simple. We got to preach the gospel. We've got to preach righteousness. We've got to preach repentance. We've got to preach the deliverance of sin. That's what we've come to do. That's what Christ has given us to do. And that's what we must do. His heart is, this is the third one, his heart is at home too. Let me just go say goodbye to everyone at home. Hey, I'm going to go follow Jesus. I mean, it sounds like it's, to me, it seems like the most natural thing in the world. Let me just go tell my wife what I'm about to do so she won't worry. But it's like, by the time he goes and does that, he might not be able to find Jesus again. Jesus is on the move. I'm thankful that he's given me a time of peace where I have time to learn about these things. You know, the men of their time are subject to the spirit of the age, you know? And in the spirit of this age, I need to know how to serve God in my time. We've all got to learn to serve God in our time. It doesn't mean I have to. Where am I going to go? Let's say I get up today, get up, no place to lay my head, I'm going to walk out the door and serve Christ. Where am I going to go? Go to a church and they won't hear me. I know where I'm sent. I'm sent to the people on the world, on the World Wide Web, to the nobodies who are listening to me. Welcome to the program. In any case, all us nobodies have to prepare ourselves. If we want to be anything in the kingdom of God, anything at all,